Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm continuing to teach on a message I started entitled, The Reality of Spiritual Warfare. And I'm trying to get you to understand and have revelation that spiritual warfare is real. And much of what you're going through is spiritual warfare. And so you've got to be prepared for the battle. You've got to be prepared for the war. Now, ultimately, Jesus Christ has already won the battle. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. But primarily, he was talking about the Abrahamic covenant being fulfilled. And so what we need to recognize, even in Matthew chapter 16, he told the apostles, he said, upon this rock, talking about himself or the revelation of who he was, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, I will build future tense, my church. The Greek word is oikodomeo. It means I will build my house, the church. So he's saying my dwelling place is a church. My dwelling place is the church. The place on earth where I want to dwell is my church. My house is the church. That's why I brought that up about a house not being a home necessarily. But he's saying that's my dwelling place. That's where I'm going to dwell is the church. Not temples made with hands. So that's why we got to be careful about having what I call an edifice complex. That we think because it's so much paganism connected with modern day Christianity today that we're not aware of. And I believe a lot of times if we're not aware of it, we're not guilty of idolatry. Because we're not aware of so many things. But almost everything has some kind of connection with paganism and even idolatry. You know, the Easter and even Christmas and even a lot of things, you know, with so much stuff, whether you know it or not, steeples on top of church buildings is a pagan practice. It comes from when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, saw a cross in the sky and he determined that God was communicating to him that under this banner, you will defeat the enemy. And so he went into battle. I think he was fighting against another potential emperor, and he won the battle, so he just declared Christianity as the state religion. Didn't say anything about it. When you study in history, he didn't get converted. He was not born again. He just decided Christianity was popular, I guess. And then he just declared it the state religion. And so it's many of the citizens of Rome came and said, well, what are we going to do about our festivals and idolatry. They didn't call it idolatry, but we worship Jupiter and we worship Apollo and we worship this god. We worship Isis and so he just put it all together and mixed it all together. December 25th is not the birth date of Jesus Christ. It's connected with paganism. Is connected in that what is called Easter in the King James Bible is only mentioned one time the word Easter, but it should be Passover. And so he put Passover together with a pagan religion. Or a pagan festival or whatever. It was actually a dedication to Isis or Ishtar. That's where you get the word Easter. It's Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. She has many names. Diana of the Ephesians, Venus, Isis, several different names. The Queen of Heaven, even Mary has been put in that situation. That's not to dishonor Mary, the physical mother of Jesus Christ. But then they want to take and place her up at a place higher than God and say she is the mother of God. Now, if she's the mother of God, that would make her higher than God. Amen. Are you listening to me? If she's a mother in terms of Jesus' spirit, that would make her higher than Jesus, and she's not. Amen? God used Mary probably around an age of 16 or whatever and brought Jesus Christ into the earth. The Bible says that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we got to make sure in these last days, these last and evil days, that we have pure doctrine. Everybody say pure doctrine. Amen. So that's why we don't think that's necessary that we have an organist playing at the time where we preach it. Amen. I told you last Sunday, I said, you know, if you know, I made mention, if you got to hear some soul music, just listen to Motown on the way home. You know, and a whole lot of that you shouldn't be listening to anyway. You know what I mean? But some of that stuff is not good. It's not necessarily bad. It's just music. You know what I mean? just grooving on a Sunday afternoon or something. I don't know. If you want to just hang out on a Sunday afternoon, I don't see sin in everything. I don't see sin in everything that we do. I think that's one reason why some people avoid the Church of Jesus Christ, because the churches can become legalistic on one end. Then on the other end, it can become sacrilegious. So you're religious on one side and then sacrilegious on the other side. You're messing with women. That's how you can tell when it's religiosity, is when it's always picking on women. Religious spirits, they always pick on women. And a lot of times it's like, well, they're messing with your hair. You got to do this with your hair. You can't do that with your hair. You can't cut your hair. You can't do this. You can't do that. And whatever the case may be, you can't wear your clothes. You got to be under, here, and it got to be there. Yeah, you can wear a dress that's too short, but for the most part, men don't even need to touch that stuff. Spiritual mothers, as the Bible says, let the older women communicate to the young women. Let the older women teach the young women. And a lot of that stuff, men shouldn't even be paying a whole lot of attention to. And certainly shouldn't be talking about it from the pulpit, a lot of that kind of stuff. But it's such an infiltration, an amalgamation of paganism in the church. I mean, even our Gregorian calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday is Moon Day. And I don't remember Tuesday, but I know Friday was Thor's wife. Thursday was Thor's day. It's like, what are you going to do? You cannot, how are you going to get all this paganism out? A lot of times, well, you're not trying to actively worship Thor. You're not trying to actively worship Odin, the father of Thor, and all this kind of stuff. But it's mixed in with our society. A lot of it is. Even if you look at the Washington, D.C., that district, that whole district was designed by Freemasons, Luciferian Freemasonry. Are y'all listening to me? The star of Lucifer, the goat head, is right there in the state capitol, and the capitol building, the big dome, the capitol building is the pregnant belly. That's what it's symbolic of, the pregnant belly of Isis. That Washington Monument is the erect phallus of Osiris. And they are saying that a lot of that stuff, that's the steeple on top of a church. That's symbolic of the erect male genitalia of Osiris on top of what we call a church. That's what that is. You didn't know that, did you? Even some of the robes and stuff. You got these people that are getting ordained and got these, they got these, you'll see these hats like the Pope wears. That's symbolic of Dagon, the fish god. I mean, it's just an amalgamation of all kind of stuff. So you got to be careful about straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You being nitpicky about stuff. What is people's motives? Man, if you're going to do that, even wearing a suit, you might trace that back to paganism. You know what I mean? I mean, some of that stuff is just, it's so much paganism infiltrated in it. And then when you watch Jesus Christ, sometimes we need to go back and just read the Gospels and see that Jesus Christ didn't worry about a whole lot of that stuff. He didn't worry about that. Who we going to pay taxes to? Who we supposed to honor? He said, show me a coin. Show me a Greek coin or a Roman coin, not Greek, but Roman. And he said, well, whose inscription is on the coin? And they said, well, Caesar's picture is on the coin. Caesar's inscription is on the coin. Well, he said, render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and render to God that which belongs to God. The word of God says that we are to rightly divide. Come on, somebody. Rightly divide the word of truth. You know, make a difference, make a distinction, the Bible said, between the good and the evil, the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. Make a distinction between as much as we can. And then you, as you grow, how many know that when you know more, you're responsible for more? And I like what Bishop Marcus said, when you know better, you do better, right? You grow in grace. Even as a pastor, you got to be able to admit that, that I taught last year, I don't teach anymore because the Lord showed me better. So I'm 61 going on 62. I'll be 62 in August, but I don't believe in this stuff about being set in your ways. Set in your ways? If you're set, that means you're not growing. Come on, somebody. That means you hit 50 and you're set. You hit 60 and you're set. That's right. You're on your way out. You're on your way down. If you're set in your ways, that means you're not growing anymore. Didn't he say that we're to continue to grow in grace? That we're to grow up into Christ, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, unto a what? Perfect man. That means a fully mature man, spiritually. So that means that if the pastor is not growing, if the bishop is not growing, if the apostle over the house is not growing, that means that the members can't grow. He's become a ceiling, or she's become a ceiling for the members. But if you got a spirit of growth, the Bible says that we're to have the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that we're to pray that we be that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Amen. And so we want to grow in the things of God, but we don't want to be. I'm telling you, the internet, in my opinion, is the modern day tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The internet is the modern day tree. Write that down if you're taking notes. The modern day tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you remember God did not want his Adam and Eve, his children, to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If all you went to was the good, that would be great. It's like your children. It'd be like, you know, when your children are watching, they taking their iPhone and watching all kind of pornography. They're watching all kind of beheadings and all stuff I can't even mention from the pulpit. They can see right there on their iPhone. Partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If it was just good, that would be great. But then there's a potential of the evil too. That's one of the reasons I believe why God allowed certain books to be taken out of the Bible. The book of Enoch, the book of Jasher, the book of Giants, the book of Jubilee. Some of these he just took out and separated them. And they're not a part of the canon of Scripture, the 66 books. Not because they're lies, not because they're false doctrine, but because some of that stuff he didn't want you to know. Just at that time, just like your children. There's some things that are true, but you don't want them to know yet. You don't want, you know, you're not teaching them about some of this stuff. Where babies come from? Where do babies come from? None of your business. You come back 5 years from now, and I'll tell you. And I do not want somebody who is not their parents teaching my children where babies come from. Have no right to teach my children stuff that I decide when they talk. You'd be surprised how many people are going to start pulling their kids out of public school and start homeschooling, or get somebody who is gifted to homeschool and come together in the church. You know, most schools came out of the church anyway. So God's going to bring schools back into the church. Amen. Except if you could bring the school into the church without charging people an arm and a leg. Good Lord. You'd come up with that. And I think about even in this church, we've had people that got degrees that could be principals and all this kind of stuff. But and the charter schools are just going down the tubes. Charter schools are just the scores of it lets you know that whole system is on its way out. It's not because these people are not smart. It's not because the inner city kids are not smart enough to get this done. It's not popular to be smart anymore. When I was young and went to school, the popular students was the ones that was the smartest. But now it's the dummies. And then if you ain't dumb, you just play dumb. You know, you just act like you don't know. And you know that lesson. You could do that lesson with your eyes closed sometime, but you don't do it because you don't want nobody to talk about you, call you a nerd or call whatever word they use today. Isn't that something? And with me, I had brothers and sisters, Pastor Kevin witness, our older brothers and sisters were smart as they could be, valedictorians and salutatorians and stuff, and Carver High, and then Ralph Andre come there, they say, where are you from? I said, my name is Ralph Andre Parker. You a Parker? And there was even some colorism in the school. You know, racism, but they call it colorism. It's like, you're not too bright. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what you talking about? I'm not too bright. You saying I'm not smart as my brother because my skin is darker than my brother? I'll ask the teacher, what you talking about? Explain this to me so I can know how to talk about you. That's the kind of attitude so when I talk bad about you, I ain't lying. That was just my attitude back then. I've since repented. Because see, back then, teachers back then was like, it was like the preacher, then the teacher. Come on, somebody. We had respect for the preacher. And then second from the preacher was the teacher. And now teachers don't even dress like they used to dress. I better leave that alone. I could go even further than that. It's like, boy, these teachers is having sex with the students and stuff. Good Lord. Huh? Young students, it's like, good Lord, it's some twistedness. twisted. I was telling Bishop Margaret, this Me Too movement, you wait till they come into the church with it. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, woo. Ooh, I shudder to believe. I mean, I shudder to think, I should say, what in the world is going to be exposed with the so-called men of God? Some of your most popular preachers are being exposed. And God started really years ago, back in the 70s, exposing some stuff with people. Have you found Ephesians 6 yet? The reality of spiritual warfare. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the schemes, the plots of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. Notice I told you last time, the rulers over this present darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness or wicked spirits in heavenly or high places. Verse number 13, therefore, take up the whole armor. Everybody say the armor. Of God. Now, armor means a defensive and protective covering. Armor, a defensive and protective covering. Now, I want to show you, he mentions pretty much seven things. Now, I want to show you that most of what he's talking about is the armor. He mentions the armor of God, but there's one of these things that is specifically a weapon of God. A weapon of God. And some of these things are both. There's at least two that the way you use them, some of them you use them on one hand as armor. Then on the other hand, you can use it as a weapon. You can use it as armor and then you turn around and use it as a weapon. Makes me think about Captain America. I mean, you know that Captain America has a shield. I kind of like, you know, I used to like that with him when we was kids and I wasn't just a kid either, a big kid. But Captain America would have that shield and then he would take that shield and block bullets with it and block attacks with it. Then he take that shield and beat your brains out with it. You hear what I'm saying? So that shield was armor on one hand, but it was also a weapon on the other hand. Then you have some of y'all remember that movie 300 with Leonidas? Was it Leonidas? Well, Leonidas would take, they would take those Spartans. Was it the Spartans? Y'all help me now. And take those shields and they would block the arrows and they would put those shields together and make a great big huge, block all the arrows and block all the swords and block all the attacks. And then they turn around and decapitate you with that same shield. We talking about real warfare. We ain't talking about nothing that's just, you know, G-rated. We talking about the real deal. Some of it's R-rated. It may not be X-rated, but it's blood. It's bloody. Real warfare is bloody, you all. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a bloody gospel? There's no such thing as a gospel without blood. Because there's no such thing as a covenant without blood. The word covenant means to cut. It means to cut. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So somebody had to be cut. Somebody had to be pierced. Somebody had to be bruised. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Isaiah said, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, but the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him the iniquities of us all. That is the gospel. That's the gospel. In a nutshell, Isaiah had the revelation, didn't he? And you remember the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch said, he read that script. He said, who was that? Philip. He said, is he talking about himself or somebody else? Is Isaiah talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And Philip told him he's talking about the Christ. He's talking about the Son of the Living God. And Philip took that scripture, took Isaiah 53, preached the gospel to that Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch said, what is it to hinder me from being baptized? So they came down off the chariot, baptizing him on a pool of water. He went back to Ethiopia and started the Abyssinian Ethiopian Christian church. God took an Ethiopian eunuch and turned him into an apostle to Ethiopia. Don't tell me that blacks received Christianity as slaves in America. That's the first time they received Christianity, that white people use the Bible to manipulate and control blacks in America. Don't tell me that lie. That's a lie. That's a foolish lie that comes from ignorant folk that don't study the Bible. The gospel went first to the Jew. Then it went to Samaria, That's what we call a half-breed. I hate that word, but for lack of a better term, a half-breed Jew. Then it went to the Ethiopian. In fact, the Ethiopian got the gospel before the European got it. If you're going to go by the Bible, quit letting people tell you crazy stuff. Quit listening to these Hebrew Israelites. You a Hebrew Israelite. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. You got to remember that the Bible says Abraham is the father of us all. The Bible says I'm going to make you the father of many, many nations. Not just a black. Well, isn't that the pendulum swing one extreme? That they leave us out or we get left out. I don't know who did it. I'm not trying to blame. I'm not playing the blame game. But I'm just saying, you know, we looked at Moses. Moses was European. Then we looked at Noah. Noah was European. To this day, they had one, what, like in 2015, and they had Russell Crowe playing Noah. And everybody, you know, we thought they was all white in the Bible. Then come to find out it was more dark-skinned people in the Bible than it was light-skinned people in the Bible. But that's not here or there. That doesn't really make that much difference as long as we had the Bible. Jews are neither black or white. For the most part, the kind of Jew that Jesus was. But it's black Jews, you all, it's tribes, it's all kind of, it was 12 tribes. Some of those tribes were black. You got to remember that some of those tribes did not come out of Sarah. Some of those tribes came out of Keturah. That even sound like a sister, don't it? Not a sister, but a sister. Keturah. So of course you're going to have black Jews. Of course you're going to have white Jews. You remember the day of Pentecost? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were all filled with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's right. Then it says there were Jews from every nation. Jews from every nation. The word nation is the Greek word ethnos. It means races. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Read your Bible. Sometimes I listen to YouTube and I just think, you dummy, you need to go back and study. You need to go back and read. Talking about just the white man this and the white man that. We the original Jews. It was all of them original Jews. Are you talking about Jews according to the natural? Are you talking about Jews according to their faith? The Bible says there were Jews and proselytes. That's people that became Jews. Their faith, they became Jews. A prophetess Mina is a Jew. She would be called a Messianic Jew. And I asked her about that. I said, why is it different races? Well, she said Abraham. And then she said it's a Jew gene. She said they call it the Jew gene. They can trace back in your DNA and find out whether you're a Jew or not. That's how Hitler, I guess, I don't know. Hitler is people that some people hid and some people got found out that they were Jews. Or what? You think 6 million of those people got killed and they were not the real deal? Come on, somebody. You just got to use your common sense. Did Hitler kill 6 million? The devil would use Hitler to kill 6 million of these European Jews and not all of them. Hasidic Jews and whatever the case may be. They look different. They darker skin, olive skin, look a lot like Arabs. And the reason why they look like Arabs, or I should say Arabs look like them, because they both have the same father according to the flesh. They both come from Abraham. The Arabs come from Abraham and what's Ishmael? Ishmael's mother? Hagar. Abraham and Hagar produced the Arab nations, and Abraham and Sarah produced the Jewish nation. Are y'all listening to me? And then Keturah was in there too. So you had Abraham when Sarah died, you had Abraham. So he said, I'm going to make you the father. So whoever mother, you know, that would be Sarah at first. And after Sarah died, Abraham had some more kids. So those kids were also Jews according to the natural. And some of them were dark-skinned. Some of them were even black Jews. I used to say there were no black Jews till I went to Israel. Then I went to Israel, they was all over the place. And it was European Jews that brought them from Ethiopia, that read the scriptures, that said they were some of the lost tribes and sent money to bring them over. They said, the Bible says, I forget what book it was, but they would be brought over on eagle's wings. So they sent planes over there to bring, they were already Jews, and then they became Messianic Jews. They accepted Christ through that Ethiopian eunuch. They became Jews because the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon for his wisdom and got more than just his wisdom. Come on, somebody, went back pregnant. You know, went back pregnant and had a prince. That's where Rastafarianism comes from. They thought he was a Messiah, but he wasn't a Messiah. You know, he was probably a good prince, a good man, and whatever the case may be, but he was not the Messiah. He was not the son of Mary and Joseph, right? So we got to study, we got to know. See, that's biblical history. This stuff should have been taught in school. That's why we need Christian schools to teach biblical history. There's no such thing as true history that's not biblical or has a biblical viewpoint of it. I mean, the Bible touches every area. If you want to know the truth about a thing, you got to go to the Word of God. Actually, you got to go to God. And in order to go to God, you got to go to His Word. Amen. Let me go get back to the scripture. I'm quoting the scripture, but let me get back to the written word of God. Therefore, take verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to withstand. Now, what does that imply? That if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you will not be able to withstand. Antihistamine. That means to stand against, to cause to stand. The verb suggests vigorously opposing the devil. Opposing not only Satan himself, but principalities, powers, rulers over the darkness, or rulers over this present darkness, and wicked spirits in high places. Now, that's very important that you understand that the spirits that threaten you are in high places. They are higher than you. Physically, they're in the atmosphere. See, I think when I look at stuff, I don't deny everything. You know, you see lights in the sky sometimes. Some people even say they see vehicles flying around. Now, I don't deny if they're fallen angels. Why? You know, when you read about in Ezekiel's day and in his book, it talks about a wheel in the middle of a wheel. John, the revelator that wrote the book of Revelation, talks about a giant locust with the face of a man. That sounds just like a helicopter. Sounds like an Apache helicopter that's being flown by a pilot. He saw some stuff that he said, and a lot of times, most of the time, he said, and I saw as it were. He said, and I saw as it were. So you see lights in the sky. I've seen lights. I noticed that you see lights more around military installations, around military bases. I was in the Air Force. I was at Holloman Station at Holloman Air Force Base. And sometime as a military police, we'd be standing out there in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, and see lights. Now, we did not know that some of the lights we were seeing, we thought we were seeing UFOs. Some of them were produced by USA. Some of the UFOs were produced by the USA. And we didn't know it. They were producing the stealth flyer, the stealth fighter, and they were flying over black, looked like giant bats. And the only thing you could see was the lights underneath. And they would fly over us, and we said, what in the world was that? Do you know, I even believe that the United States government has got that thing that happened in Roswell. This stuff is coming out now. We are receiving disclosure right now. UFOs have been around for a long time. I am convinced that part of the Illuminati is not just the Rothschilds, it's not just the Rockefellers, it's not just Soros, it's also principalities and powers that are over them. Aliens, what we call aliens. Some people say they're aliens, but we know that these aliens are nothing more than fallen angels and Nephilim. And I tell you this because I don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I don't want when these things start being disclosed and they start telling you about these different races of aliens that you freak out and say, well, that must mean the Bible is not true and throw your Bible away. That proves the Bible to be true. Because the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 6 that the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God, came down and visited the daughters of men and cohabitated with them, and the women begot giants, men of renown, heroes and legends of old. Not only were they called the Nephilim, they were also called Gibberim. That means mighty ones, superheroes. Men are hybrid men with superhuman strength. Are y'all listening to me? Angelic, come the product of the watchers that came down. We need to know that's in the Bible. It's also confirmed in the book of Enoch. And you say, well, what about the big? Well, these books are mentioned in the Bible. They mention in the Bible, so therefore the Bible gives these books validity. They were found along in the same cave as the Dead Sea Scroll. They were found in these caves. So I believe that they were put there and put away until the latter days. How many know that God told Daniel to seal up the book? After he got through, he said, seal up the book, and it will be sealed until the end. It's like sealing a letter. And you want the letter to stay sealed until it gets to the right person. And sometimes you might put a date on it. You know, your mother might die and say, okay, open this up 10 years from now. Don't open it up right now because you can't deal with the stuff you're going to read right now. But open it up 10 years from now. That's what God was saying. Some of this stuff that Daniel is talking about, the church of Jesus Christ cannot receive right now. A whole bunch of this stuff that John, the Revelator, the writer of the book of Revelation, wrote, his visions that he saw are the visions of Jesus Christ. The church can't understand. The church can't really handle until the time of the end. But he said at the time of the end, the books, come on, somebody, will be open. And men will have revelation. And women will have revelation of what John saw. Some of it is symbolical. A whole lot of it is symbolical. And people are saying, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Hal Lindsey and different ones and different what we call prophecy teachers are saying, well, the rapture is going to be here and the rapture is going to be there. And really, if the truth be told, we don't know when the rapture is going to be. We just know it's going to be a rapture. But he said, you need to be prepared for whenever the rapture takes place. You need to be prepared. Well, is it going to be post-trib, mid-trib? No trib, what? You know, the 7 years tribulation period. You know, you think, well, I don't want to have to go through that. I don't either. But your bishops right now, we really believe that the rapture is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation period. It says at the last trumpet. And when you read it through the book of Revelation, the last trumpet is, I think it's in Revelation chapter 12, I believe, or chapter 11, 1. Where it's the last trumpet. And the Bible said, when the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. That's the Latin word for rapture is the Latin word for caught up. That's what I'm trying to say. Are y'all listening to me? Now, how could I do all this teaching in tune at the same time? I couldn't do it, could I? And the book of Revelation and John's Revelation and the Greeks, they just don't go together, wouldn't it? I'd have to dumb it down to get it to you like that. That's what's been happening. The word of God's been dumbed down, you know, just to get effect. And I feel like that a lot of times it's not my job to give you inspiration. I'm not the Holy Ghost. The word inspiration, inspire means Holy Spirit breathed upon. It's my job to give you information. And if it's the right information, guess what? The Holy Ghost will breathe on it. And the Holy Ghost will breathe on you. While I'm preaching the word, the Holy Ghost will say, whoosh. And I see some of you jump. You know, I'd be teaching the word of God and the Holy Ghost say, and you jump. Some of you jump. Some of you start shouting, hallelujah. Holy Spirit just breathed on you. It's like, boy, I see that. I never saw that before. It's time to get it right, y'all. And when I say get it right, you can't get yourself right. But you can get your heart. You can just decide. It's, you know, repentance is just a decision. It starts with a decision. Repentance starts with a decision. I want to live for God. I want to live holy. I want to walk in righteousness. God help me. That's where repentance starts. Let me continue. Verse number 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You remember I told you, girded your loins or your waist with the truth. You're not going to be protected if you're walking in a lie. That's what he's saying. If you're walking in a lie, you know, you're trying to be all this Hebrew Israelites and black people are the only Hebrews and the only Israelites and black people are the first this and black people are the first that. The Nation of Islam is just a big cult. Well, if you knew the history of the Nation of Islam, you'd laugh. Louis Farrakhan was caught up in a mothership. Sound like the original mothership connection. That sound like the Funkadelics, don't it? Parliament Funkadelics, the mothership connection. I mean, this is what Farrakhan teaches. Now, he probably was caught up. He said he was caught up in a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So he's essentially putting himself on the same level as Ezekiel. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Is this boring to you? I mean, he's saying, and you think about that, got a whole movement, not only in Chicago, but all over the country, and it's not even Orthodox Islam. Orthodox, most, it's approximately 1 billion Muslims on the planet. And almost zero of them claim Farrakhan as a true Muslim. He ain't even an Orthodox Muslim. He's trying to mix Christianity with Islam, which is an abomination. It'd be better for him to be all the way Muslim than to try to, you know, he quotes the Bible more than he does the Quran. But when he's talking about, some people think that he got saved when he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He wasn't talking about Jesus. He's talking about Farad Muhammad. He's talking about Elijah Poole or Elijah Muhammad. He's not talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. He's not talking about Jesus the Christ. He's twisting words, taking words and manipulating you, making them then preachers sitting up there, "Ha, I told y'all Farrakhan is saved." The Bible said you'll know them by their fruit. How you gonna be saved? And he's talking about the Quran and trying and got this stuff called Savior's Day. Savior's Day. And he's talking about more than one Savior. He even for a while called Obama a Savior. A Savior. No, Obama ain't saved nobody. He need to save himself if he can save somebody. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? He didn't save this country. Anybody, I don't see nobody out here that prospered under Obama's watch. Ain't nobody. He tore this country up on purpose. And some of y'all finding out now that just because he was black, he's a black man, so what? Moving right along. I don't want to get hung up on that. I sure used to get hung up. Boy, I used to stop preaching my message and my whole message. I might as well entitle it Obama bashing. I mean, I was angry, boy. I was so mad that folk were getting deceived by this man. And the people would say, well, if he's just a politician, I wouldn't even mention it, but he was a false prophet. I won't say he was. He is a false prophet. When he called the Apostle Paul a bigot, I said, I can't hold my peace. To call the Apostle Paul a bigot, preachers didn't even say anything. It's like you're disloyal to Christ because you let him say it and didn't say a word. That's like somebody talking about your mama and you don't say nothing. Somebody talking about your daddy and you don't say nothing. Are y'all listening to me? The Apostle Paul is your spiritual father. The Apostle Paul is the one that wrote, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The Apostle Paul is the one that wrote, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if he can discredit the Apostle Paul, he can discredit the writings of the Apostle Paul. If he can discredit the Apostle Paul, he can discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you didn't see it. 2/3 almost of the gospel he can discredit just by discrediting what the Apostle Paul wrote. Read 1 Corinthians 6:9. When people ask you the question about homosexuality, read 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't take them back to the book of Leviticus where they can say, well, that was under the law. Eating shellfish was not, that was a violation of the law. And they take them to 1 Corinthians 6:9. Take them to Romans 1 and tell them to read that whole chapter. You can't get around that. And the only way you're going to get around it is to decide you don't believe the Bible. That's the only way you can get around it. But yet it's got whoremongers and idolaters and all them. I used to be both. So, you know, the gospel just convicts you of sin. If you're guilty of sin, the gospel will convict you. But conviction is good I'm talking about on this side of the grave, conviction is good. Because you got a chance to repent. But if you wait to get on the other side of the grave and get convicted, you on your way to hell. By then, it is too late. When you find out the truth on the other side, it's going to be too late. So you need to know the truth now. I'd rather people say, well, you know, I don't want to tell you this because it's going to hurt your feelings. Well, it hurt my feelings. Go on and hurt my feelings now. Amen. That's right. Bishop Mark quote that scripture, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Say, I'm your friend, so I'm gonna be the one that'll tell you. I hate to tell you this, but, you know, we got to get this right. We got to do this right. Okay, stand therefore, verse number 14. Having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember I told you what I tell you that is? The breastplate of rightness. That means that, think about how you feel when you got a breastplate. That's like having a bulletproof vest on. When you write, it's like people can shoot bullets at you, and most of the bullets are going to be verbal. Right? Y'all know people that shot bullets at me. But when I know I'm right, it's like, hey, I'm, you know, just like Superman. You know, dun 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 dun. You know, I got on the breastplate of rightness. I know that I'm right. I know I'm right about Obama. I know I'm right about Hillary. People talk about Trump, but I tell them, you know, I'm not trying to defend Trump, but think about the alternative. Have you thought about the alternative? We almost put a witch in the White House. Almost put a witch in there. Almost put Jezebel. What does Jezebel do? She turns a whole nation over to idolatry. She turns a whole nation. And I'm not talking about just a physical woman. I'm talking about the spirit of Jezebel is so strong that it will turn a whole nation to Baal worship. Or the worship of, in the Hebrew tongue, the worship of Baal, which is just another name for Satan. That's what she was going to do. That's exactly what she was going to do. We'd probably be in a war with Russia today if we had voted Hillary in office. And people are just so foolish. They just follow the crowd, drinking the Kool-Aid. And then most preachers don't have the boldness to tell people the truth because they want numbers. You have to make up your mind. And when I was younger, I wanted numbers. I still want numbers. And guess what? We're going to get numbers. But we had to show God that we wanted quality more than quantity. That we're going to preach this gospel even if we lose this church. We're going to preach this gospel. It's like we're not going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he said, you compromised. Amen. Even though we made mistakes like Moses. The Bible says, you know, you read in the Old Testament about the mistakes that Moses made. He got angry two or three times. People think it was just that one time. But Moses got angry, so angry he threw the Ten Commandments. I think he threw them at them folk. I don't think he just broke them. I think he took them and threw them at them. And broke them. And then grinded it up and made some kind of drink with him. Told him to drink it. Told them folk to drink it. He intimidated them people. Moses wasn't just, you know, the Bible talks about him being the meekest man in the land. He wasn't always meek. And when it says meek there, it's talking about being oppressed. I researched it. It's not just talking about being meek. It's also talking about he was just so oppressed trying to pastor 6 million people. And half of them, more than half of them, really almost all of them were rebellious. The Bible says gainsaying, stiff-necked people. And he's got to pastor these folk. Does that sound familiar to y'all? And he got frustrated at times. You know, when they complain about not having water, it's like, are y'all my children? Did I give birth to all of y'all? What do y'all want me to do? So he went to God, and God told him to go speak to the rock. Speak to it. Right? The first time he told him to strike the rock. But this time he said, speak to it. And Moses went up there and struck that rock not once, but struck it twice, and water gushed out. And God went ahead and worked a miracle, but God said, you can't go into the promised land. That seemed cold, didn't it? It's like God, he done been faithful, fooling with these folk for 40 years. He was in the wilderness 40 years before he even went to Egypt and brought them out. And then God said, you can't go into the promised land because you dishonored me before the people. But then in the New Testament, when it mentions Moses in the Hebrews chapter 11, it says nothing about Moses dishonoring God. At that place, doesn't mention it. Says Moses was faithful in all God's house. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. So let me. I don't have a lot of time. Try not to hold y'all real long anymore, because I think you retain more if I don't go too long. Verse number 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the preparation of the gospel of peace means the readiness that the gospel gives. Ooh, good God. Isn't that good? The readiness of the gospel. And the word of peace is not in the Greek text. It just says the gospel. The preparation of the gospel. Everybody say the preparation of the gospel. It really means the readiness that the gospel gives. In other words, this is what it's saying. Paul is saying a part of your armor is when the gospel will make you ready. Ready for what? Ready for battle. Are y'all listening to me? Knowing the gospel. You remember I quoted Isaiah 53. I quoted Romans chapter 10 or some part of Romans chapter 10. But he's saying when you know the gospel, it will make you ready for battle. It'll make you ready for war. Knowing the gospel, not just knowing all the Bible, not just nitpicking and pulling out stuff about dietary laws. Not just nitpicking and messing with women about their hair and wearing women about their makeup. Why don't you just take care of yourself and your own wife? Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? You deal with your own stuff and leave other men's wives alone. Come on, somebody. But let the gospel make you ready. The gospel. See, if you know the gospel and you understand the gospel, you will not allow yourself to get into legalism. You will not allow people to go telling you, well, you think you saved, but you don't keep the Sabbath. And does the Bible say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Yes, it didn't. He didn't change that. How many know the Sabbath day is Saturday? But he didn't say you had to go to church on Saturday. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, some of y'all need to remember the Sabbath day when you're out there in the mall. You need to remember that this is the Sabbath day. Keep it. How do you keep it holy? By resting. By resting. You hear me? I'm looking at young people. By resting, and I'm looking at sisters. By resting, not by shopping all day. Because when you shop, y'all know, when you, especially when you get older, you be shopping, you be wearing yourself out. Come home with all them bags, walk around with all them bags and stuff. That's not keeping the Sabbath day holy. But then Paul said that Paul was a Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a keeper of the law. And Paul said, he said, quit worrying about Sabbaths and new days and festival days. And then he told the church that he planted, he said, on the first day of the week, when we come together, on the first day of the week, we come together. So in other words, we don't come together on Saturday. We come together on Sunday, which is the first day of the week. That was a change. See, you got to remember that the New Testament, there were some changes made. Now, some people teach that the reason why it was changed because Jesus Christ rose from the dead early Sunday morning, the first day of the week. So they switched that up. Now, you know, we know some, you know, it's a connection with paganism in there too. You know, but we're not worshiping paganism. We're not meeting on Sunday because of paganism. And Paul said, what difference does it make what day you meet? As long as you meet a day, a certain day, as long as you come together. What difference does it make? As long as you understand that we're not worshiping the, it's not S, just S-U-N day, it's S-O-N day. Right? It's S-O-N day. We're worshiping the Son of God. We're coming together to worship Him. We're coming together to receive teaching. And the way our culture is the best time for us to come together is on Sunday. Right? And nowadays, most people don't go to church no more. So-called Christians don't even go to church no more. And you know who they blame? The preachers. They blame the preachers. You listen to them online. Well, I don't go to church no more because the preacher I grew up under, I found out he did, he whatever. Why don't you just change churches? Why don't you just change preachers? Huh? You change everything else, don't you? If your clothes don't fit you right, you do what?
Well, I ain't wearing no clothes no more. Because them clothes pinched me. Them clothes, it just didn't feel good. Hey, I decided not to wear no clothes no more.
Yeah. Just get you another preacher. Seek the Lord and find a preacher to teach the truth. And you know what? It's just as important as preaching the truth is living the truth. Living it. It just ain't that deep. Okay, let's finish. Let's keep it simple as much as we can. We don't have to make it that deep. And he talked about having your feet shod with the readiness that the gospel gives. And above all, everybody say above all. Taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts or the flaming arrows of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Now, the metaphor here is based on armor and battle dress of the first century Roman soldier. Clearly, the military metaphor is intended to show the reader that we are engaged in an active battle right now. Though some suggest that the viewpoint of the continuous aggressive struggle minimizes the accomplished victory of the cross, it in fact asserts that victory all the more. It asserts that victory all the more. I'm reading from the notes of the New Spirit-Filled Life King James Version, which I encourage you to get. All spiritual warfare waged today is victorious only on the basis of appropriating the provision of the cross and Christ's blood. So in order for us to obtain the victory that Jesus Christ has already won, we've got to learn to appropriate it. Everybody say, learning to appropriate the blessings of God. See, sometimes something is given to you, but you got to learn how to appropriate it or access it. Like on Saturday when you got money, you might have $100,000 in the bank, but you can't access it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You got to know how to access your own money. Now, I don't think you can get $10,000 on an ATM machine, but what if you need $1,000? You could get $1,000, can't you? You just have to do it. You got to know how to access it. You might be able to do it, what, three times? I don't know. They'll shut you down after a certain amount of time. I think they'll let you do it maybe three times, won't they? Three times? So you, what boy, you, I don't even know if you could get $1,000. You might have to stop. Could you get $1,000, three, or get 900? You can get five. So you can get five. So you could get $1,000, but you got to know how to do it. You got to know how to do it, right? So that means that's your money, isn't it? That's your money. That money belongs to you. But on a Saturday and on a Sunday, you can't get your own money unless you know how to access it. Do you know that you cannot access the blessings of God if you're ignorant and don't know how to access it? You got to know how to get it. You got to get it by faith, right? He said, taken above all. Now, what is he talking about? More important of all, he said, over the rest of the armor, take the shield of faith. Now, this was a Roman shield that he's using as an analogy, as a metaphor. Roman shield was a protected the whole body. You ever seen movies where they put that shield up there and they can't hit you? They can't hit your head. They can't hit your arms. They can't hit your stomach. They can't even get your feet because the shield is so wide. The shield is so broad. What he's saying, if you operate in faith, in everything, when people attack your character, when they go on Facebook and attack you, walk in faith and walk in love. The Bible says faith worketh by love. Don't throw your faith away when you get angry. If somebody says something to you, slander you, lie on you, and you forget the Bible, you forget what the Word of God says, you're not operating in faith, you're operating in the flesh, then the fiery darts of the wicked one, the flaming arrows will penetrate you. Those words, even though they're lies, will penetrate you. Oh! You ever had that happen to you where you read online something, or somebody, usually somebody call you and tell you, did you read that so-and-so? They said so-and-so. And you go, oh! That's where, even if you don't say that, that's what it feels like. Oh! They just shot me in the stomach. And then you're trying to pull it out. Y'all remember back in the day with the crocodile hunter? Anybody remember the crocodile hunter, how he died? He died by a stingray. He's swimming over a stingray. Now, stingray is down in the water, and he's swimming over the top of the stingray, and the stingray came up and stuck him with his stinger in his heart. Jabbed him, swoop, in his heart. And the problem was he may have survived had he just left the stinger in his heart and rushed to the doctor because it would have plugged his heart up. And he may have survived that. But you know what he did? He pulled it out and died. And it's like it has barbs on it. Not only is it poison, that might have killed him by itself, but it has barbs too. And he pulled the thing out. Do you know what the Lord, Holy Spirit just told me? When you get stuck by the devil, you ought to be able to go to your brother and sister and let them pull it out for you. You ought to be able to say, y'all help me. They done stuck me. The devil, not just sister so-and-so, not just brother so-and-so, not just this person and that person, but you ought to be, the devil stuck me. The devil stabbed me in the back. And sometimes he don't stab you in the back, he stab you in the chest. Stab you in the heart. You ought to be able to go to your husband and say, husband, would you pull this out for me? You ever notice that wives try to get comfort from their husbands? Husbands, did y'all know that? Duh. Did you know that they actually come to you for comfort? And there are times that you need to just turn the game off. Thank God for those televisions that you can put it on pause. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. You can put it on pause and just listen to what she's saying because she needs comfort. She needs the comfort right now. She needs you to listen and not just say, uh-huh. Okay, and I heard somebody say, and pray. She needs you to pray with her. She's got stabbed in the heart. She's saying, I'm hurting right now. I need you right now. Husband, isn't that what husband's supposed to do? I'm talking to myself too. I'm stepping on my own toes while I'm stepping on yours. Well, it's the Holy Ghost. He gets me too. Because there's times that it's like, duh.
I don't, duh.
I missed a good opportunity to minister, to nurture my wife. Missed a good opportunity to be a good husband. Just by being dumb, being distracted, being preoccupied with something else. Well, I'm working on the car right now. Well, I'm working on something. You ever notice that men get preoccupied with stuff that women don't give a flip about? I'm just being honest with you. A lot of stuff, women don't care about all that stuff. Even the cars and stuff. As long as it starts up when they put the key in it, they could care less. All light comes on. You keep right. I don't know what that light is there for, but I got places to go. I got things to do. Yeah, the gas light comes on. It's like, well, I know I got at least a mile. I can make it up here to the mall and back. And then my husband can fill it up. Bishop Margaret just bring it to me. Said the light came on. It's like, what? The gas light came on. In other words, take it and put some gas in. I said, well, give me some money. Well, you got money. I'm thinking that now it's your car, but you want me to use my money to fill up your car. She said, right. She said, right. And she told me one day, she said, your money is my money. Isn't that right? I said, yeah, that's right. She said, and my money is my money. But listen to what I'm saying, Amos. Y'all, you better hear what I'm saying, brother. Say, we didn't have this conversation before. Brother, I'm telling you, a happy wife is a happy life. And I'm telling you, the opposite is also true. An unhappy wife is an unhappy life. Moving right along. You better, and I know, well, I'm a better woman, better do what I say. Well, you just better be single. You better just stay single. You tripping. You listen to too many rappers and stuff. You know, and they just faking you out. They ain't that bad. You rappers getting controlled by their wives. And in certain things, you just need to let up control. Like the kitchen. My wife tell me, what you doing in the kitchen? I'm on my way out. Excuse me, I was just trying to get something, you know, and just get out the way. You hear what I'm saying? Some of that stuff, you got to be pretty weak to be worrying about being henpecked. You got to be pretty weak. You know, you be the head of the household, and when it comes to tough things, she looks to me, you know, and certain things, I just cover her. Like somebody come knocking at the door, most of the time I open the door. I go to the door to find out who's at the door. We don't know who's at the door. I don't want my wife having to go to the door and there's somebody talking crazy to my wife. I feel sorry, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but sometimes women have to go through stuff trying to get their car fixed, and men will take advantage of women, tell them, well, your transmission needs to be replaced. And all you need is an oil change, and you need to change the oil filter. And they will tell you need a whole transmission change or something or whatever the case may be. You need a whole front end. You need a new car. We got one right out here for you. You know what I mean? They just rip women off. It's like, man, even if you don't have a husband, you ought to have a brother in the church that's not pushing up on you. Come on, somebody. You ought to have a brother that you can go to, a deacon. That's what deacons are for in the house of God. You ought to be able to find a deacon and be able to say, I need you to help me with this. Meet me over here at such and such a transmission place or such and such a auto repair and make sure. Just a man sometimes standing there watching them. Say what? I've had them tell me it's gonna cost so and so and so and so, and I just say what? Well, I'll tell you what, I can give you a break on that. Just question what they say. What? You gotta replace what? You know what I mean? Why? When? Where? And sometimes I tell you what, I'll do. I do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. You know what I mean? And a lot of times with women, they'll just rip you off. They don't care about you being a woman. They'll rip you off. And I'm going to tell you now, hey, I don't want nobody to misunderstand what I'm saying, but they'll do black women worse than anybody. They will dog you out. And you need to tell somebody. Take somebody up there just to look at them. Just to watch them. You hear what I'm saying? Just to look at them. You know, because they will rip your daughters off. They will rip your mother off. They don't care. They'll rip the church off some people. I'm not talking about white people. I'm talking about people in general, greedy people. I remember one time we were 608 and we put air in that auditorium. They charged us. They put four big units in a sanctuary to seat about 400 people. Anybody remember that? And when we turn on the air, it would go from hot to cold. Boom, the dump. It would dump cold air on you, and you'd get sick almost because you had started sweating a little bit from getting too hot. And then you turn on this, all four of them would come on at the same time. Woo. And then I found out later they could have used just two. It cost $10,000 to put four units up there. We could have done two for five. Huh? It was what? Bishop Martin said it was $35,000. Yeah, to put those units in. So we got ripped off, and it was Great Lakes Heating. And remember that, Great Lakes. Great Lakes ripped the church off. Y'all hear me? They ripped us off. I'm telling you, when it comes to heating and the air conditioning, especially if your heating unit goes out in the winter, ooh, you better know somebody. You better call somebody. Better call Deacon over here, Deacon Steve or Deacon Eric or somebody. You better call somebody. You better get your reviews. You know what you Google everything else, don't you? You better pull up those reviews and see what they say about these people. Ask somebody about these folks, because most of these heating and air conditioning people will rip you off. Most of them will rip you off. In the summertime, when your air conditioner go off, they know you trying to get air quick. And you just about pay whatever you got to pay, so you better ask somebody. I find a lot of times it's not about black and white. It's not about brown and black. It's about who you know. Who you know, you better know somebody. The Bible says, make for yourself friends of unrighteous mammon. In other words, make friends that got money. That's what it's saying. Have friends that got clout. And call your friend up and say, what do you think about this? I'm trying to do this and trying to do that, and they told me it was going to cost this much. Oh, no, no, you don't have to pay that much. Let me make a couple of phone calls. And they call you back and say, this, bring, take it over to such and such, and they say they'll do it for such and such. Just that easy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's what make for yourself friends. I heard one comedian say, and then I changed the channel. He said, you need some white friends. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, you really need some white friends. You need some friends. Now, you're talking about people that got clout and everything. Just, you know, just take advantage of whatever. Blacks that got clout, whoever. If they got some clout, they got some favor. I suspect they got some favor. I'm talking about Mickey back there. You know, it's some folk. I don't want to tell on myself, but we trying to do some stuff. And we was working last year with our broker. You know, we got a broker named Christian Davy. He's a Christian, too, I believe. And he worked with us at 608. And I asked him to call a man up. And he called a man, left messages on the voicemail, and the man didn't even call him back. But guess who he called back? The man called Mickey back. And there were times he wouldn't even call me back. He called Mickey back. I guess he just liked her voice better than ours. So you know what I did? I just told Sister Mickey, just keep talking to him. You know, you're talking to him on the phone. As long as he ain't doing nothing that he shouldn't be doing, just go ahead and deal with him. Be bold. Are y'all listening to me? Does that help you, sisters? You just have to, you know, you can't be trying to be a man, you know, and talk to men. But you better, you know, be trying to get some bass in your voice and stuff. But you can stand up to men and just talk to them and just tell them, don't do me like that. Don't disrespect me like that. Thank you. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Okay. He said, above all, in other words, covering the rest of that. And then verse number 17. Boy, I ain't through yet. Verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit is the only really exclusively offensive weapon. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word. Which is the what? Word. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But it's not the Greek word logos. It's the Greek word rhema. So he's saying the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. Come on, somebody. I'm getting ready to close. I got 5 minutes. He says that the sword of the Spirit, or in other words, the offensive weapon that the Holy Spirit uses is the spoken word of God, not the written word of God. But when you take the written word of God and you speak it, and you speak it, and you speak it, you command it, you say it. I'm not just talking about confession. I'm talking about when you're commanding with the word. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's when you take and chop the devil up in pieces. Are you hearing me? I mean, that's when the devil can't handle when you know the word. It's rhema. Rhema means it don't just mean that you're quoting scripture. It means that it's coming out of your belly. It's coming out of your innermost being. That's what I mean by belly. It's in your heart. Boom, you're hitting the devil with that sword. And those swords, those Roman swords were sharp, but they were very heavy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's one of the reasons why. And they were two-edged. Doesn't the Bible say that the word of God is sharp and powerful? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint of marrow. Joint and marrow, and the word of God, the sword of the spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature, nobody in the congregation who is not open and naked before the eyes of him of whom we have to give an account to. Everybody gets cut. Everybody gets it. If you in the way and that sword comes through, it'll cut you. But that same sword coming back will heal you. So it's like, just wait a few minutes. I've had people get up, walk out while I was preaching, and I was thinking, if you just wait, it'll be all right at the end. I'll fix it. Or the Holy Spirit will fix it. Not me. But it's like this, you know, I'm stepping on toes right now, but it's going to be all right in the end. It's going to be better. And I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to stop right there. There's some people that right now you can't see how it's going to be. But do you notice all these people committing suicide? Now, let me say up front, everybody ain't committing suicide. Some folks is getting murdered. And they're making it look like suicide. That Bourdain fella, I don't believe that dude killed himself. That dude was happy. He had told his friends that he was happy as he'd ever been. He was getting on Hillary's case. He really was. He hated Trump at first. And then when he started digging around, people started telling him stuff. He started realizing that Hillary was wicked. Do you know there's government-sponsored child abuse? There's government-sponsored child molestation, child sacrifice taking place. Many of these people and politicians in high places are pedophiles. And when you start digging around in there and finding it out, and then you start speaking it out, you're going to mess around, and they're going to kill you. They're going to take you out and make it look like it's a suicide when it's a murder. It looked like they hung themselves when they really just got lynched. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And then some people like Kate Spade and different ones, they had a history. If somebody needed, do y'all keep up with Michelle Fassett? Do y'all watch over her? And okay, make sure to let her know that I hadn't seen her in a while. Okay, well, y'all tell her, that, look here, we're going to come after you. Don't make us have to come after you. Sometimes you got to tell people that, let them know you love them. And they'll respond to love. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They'll respond to that. And let me say this before we close. It's no such thing as love that ain't tough. Amen. Not coming from a father. Amen. And a single mother got to be tough too. I don't know where people get this idea that there's this love without being tough. Do you know, all you got to do is look at the way God loves. Some of y'all looking at me, y'all in a wilderness right now. And it ain't the devil that's whooping you. It's the Holy Ghost that's whooping you. Can I get a witness? I could point y'all out. Y'all getting whooped by the Holy Ghost. I see it all on you. The Holy Ghost is beating your butt. He got you bent over. Y'all remember back in the day when the principal had you? That's what I'm saying. That's why. And grab you by the britches. And some of y'all, that's what y'all doing in the spirit. Y'all are bending over, and the Holy Ghost is going, pow, pow, and you, and he just going to keep on, pow, until he get a, oh, I'm sorry. Then he'll stop. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Y'all don't think the Holy Ghost will whoop you? Y'all don't know the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't think Jesus will whoop you? And the Heavenly Father will tear you up. People act like God don't get mad. The Bible plainly talks about the wrath of God upon unrighteousness. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell people. I done got whooped, and I would be binding the devil, and the Holy Spirit said, that ain't the devil. Don't attribute my work to the devil. The devil ain't that bad. You've been getting whooped. You in a wilderness for 20 years or something. It's something that you're not repenting of. That temper, them bad spending habits. Bad attitude toward leadership. It's like you better repent of that stuff. Your attitude toward your husband. If some women be happy to have your little husband. you better thank God. Shoot, I told y'all about the cleanup woman come to church. Cleanup woman be there every Sunday. She sure will. She'll show up. You know what I mean? And so she'll be watching to see how you taking care of your husband. You mad at him and stuff and talking about leaving him and stuff. She be thinking, she be just watching. Just move right on in. The cleanup woman is a woman who, what does this song say? Gets all the love we girls leave behind. The reason I know so much about her is because she cleaned up a love of mine. Woo, boy. That's stuff we used to listen to back in the day. You know, me and Bishop Margaret, sometimes we'd laugh because it was like we would listen to songs that was written for adults. And we was 14, 15, 16, listening to songs written for adults. Lord, have mercy. Let's just pray in the spirit for a few minutes. We'll just stop right there and pick up next time. Hallelujah. I hope that helped you all. Get back in faith, y'all. Ooh, Shibrada Sandada Baka. Let's just pray in the spirit for a few minutes. Shibrada Sandada Bakurubo Shete. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I wanted to tell you, brother, I felt like Elder Joseph, that you, God's got a better way. God's got a better way to do what he needs to do for you all. This stuff you're doing, the Lord told me to tell you, is too much for you. It's too hard on you. You hear me? And the Lord is going to move in such a way where you don't have to do that. Okay? You receive that? He's going to move in the circumstances and move in your money to where he increases the flow the way you don't have to do that because it's too hard on you. You're doing your best, but you've been working for a long time. You know what I mean? And God is not requiring. He just, you know, you're going to have to just trust the Lord. And you're going to have to trust the Lord, sister. Amen. Because I think it's some of this you've probably been telling him. And he's, you know, you got to just listen because the Lord is trying to help you. The Lord is trying to help you. You know, because sometimes, you know, your wife be telling you and you be thinking, well, honey, I got to do so and so and I got to do. And then the Holy Spirit has to back up what she's saying. You know, those are the two helpers. And brothers, I want y'all to understand that God gives you two helpers. You got a saved wife filled with the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Spirit who is the helper. And then you got a wife who is your helper. He'll help meet. So you got double help. Amen. And so some of that's what God is doing. If wife, Bible said he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Didn't say she that finds a husband finds a good thing. It says he that finds a wife. So that means you got to be looking in order to find. And then if you're going to be found, you want to just make sure when I'm found, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to help my man. I'm going to be ready to help my man because your husband is your man. Did you know that? Your husband is your man. So you got to get yourself ready. If you have lived a single life for a long time and you really want a husband, then you got to just believe God to be the kind of wife. And it's something like with my wife don't agree with everything I say and do, but it's something she just don't say. I can tell sometimes when she don't agree because she don't say anything. You know what I mean? And that's the best way to do it sometimes. It's just, she just don't say nothing. It's like, I know what that means. She's talking without talking. Amen? And it's just wise sometimes not to say anything. Because I'm not in agreement with you. You in the flesh. Y'all here, you all in your feelings right now. So I'm just going to love you. And then when you settle down and get back in the spirit, then we'll talk about it. That's a helper. Let's all stand to our feet. It's humid in here to me. I'm going to just pray for you right at your seat. I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. We just want to pray for you. Let me see the hands of those that would say, I really need special help right now. Put your hand up. Whatever it is, financial, emotional. I'm going to tell you something. The lack of finances will cause you to have emotional problems. Physical, whatever it is. Heavenly Father, right now, just bow your heads. I'm going to tell you something, wives. You need to be obedient to your husband. When your husband asks you to do certain things, do. If he's not asking you to do something that's wrong, do exactly what he asks you to do. Are y'all listening to me? Sometimes you'd be surprised. Your life may depend on doing what your husband asks you to do. If you got a sickness and disease and your husband said, go to the bishops, then you need to go to the bishops. You don't need to go to the pastors. You don't need to go to the elders. You need to do exactly what your husband asked you to do. And the reason why you don't get your breakthrough sometimes is because you did not follow your husband's instructions. That's what I'm going to teach you on that next time about. The Bible says that everything be done decently and in order. Praying should be done decently and in order. There's too many people that's out of order when they pray. Did y'all see that? Did y'all see that time when Tyler Perry laid hands on T.D. Jakes? That was just as out of order. It was shameful. And T.D. Jakes falling all out like he... Tyler Perry ain't got no business laying hands on nobody. That's Muddeel. I wouldn't let Muddeel touch me. Because you're going to get that same spirit. You impart what you are. I'm just being honest with y'all. Reason why T.D. Jakes did that because he wanted that $1 million. That's all that was about. I want that money. So I'm all out of order. I don't, you know, just so I can get that money. Do you have people that got enough integrity to say, I'm not going to take your money? If I got to be all out of order and all contrary to the word of God to get that money, then just keep it. And I will trust the Lord. That's integrity. Let me tell you something, like when somebody prays a prayer of faith and they come against the spirit of cancer, I rebuke this cancer in the name of Jesus. And then you come behind them and pray the same thing. You out of order. You praying the same. Why would you, if they prayed the prayer of faith and they prayed it in faith, now all you need to do is, now you need to get in agreement with what they prayed. It's people that are in the hospital, don't go to the hospital praying the same thing bishops prayed. Don't go over in the hospital praying the same. Bishop and pray for them, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Charles and pray for them, and you come in praying the same thing. That's why demons just think, well, they confused. I thought that was the bishop. Well, if the bishop did it, why you got to pray the same thing the bishop prays? Pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Now, I must admit, sometimes in the military, the captain or the drill sergeant would say, to the right. And then the lead man would say, to the right. He would repeat the command. But he would repeat the command in order. It was like, to the left, to the right, to the right. See, that's the way me and Bishop Margaret pray sometimes. We pray in tandem. I'll say something, and then she'll say, or sometimes when she's leading the prayer, I'll ask her to lead, and then she'll say something, and then I'll repeat what she said, but I'm supporting what she's saying. I'm in agreement. See, if two of you, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything or concerning anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. And then sometime I'll say something and I'm saying it wrong and she'll correct what I said. She'll say the right word. And sometimes, you know, when you're praying, you're trying to call a person's name and you can't think of their name and your wife will say their name or you'll say their name. See, that's helping a person pray. We'll talk about that a little more later, but we need to pray in order and we need to pray in faith. When you pray for me, don't go praying for folk if you're not going to pray in faith. Don't go over there and be careful about telling people stuff. You gonna live and not die. You just gotta be careful. Just pray for them. Speak life and whatever the case may be, but be careful about trying to prophesy. I'm just saying be careful, because sometimes I've gone, and I'm talking about church people, but sometimes I go on to people and got ready to pray for them, the Lord said, don't pray for them to be healed because I'm gonna take them. Anybody ever done that? Got ready to pray for them, the Lord said, I'm gonna take them right now. I'm gonna take them. When they leave this hospital, they're going to leave here dead. That's what I'm saying. That's the prayer of commitment. See, sometimes you got to know, the Bible says praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer. The prayer of commitment. Sometimes you have to, this is the way you pray for your children. You pray in the spirit, and then sometimes you have to say, Lord, I lift my child up before you. I lift, you call him by name. You call her by name. I commit them, prayer of commitment, into your hands. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able to keep that which I commit to you against that day. And then you roll the care. I'm not going to worry about him no more. I'm not going to worry about him getting shot. I'm not going to worry about him getting killed. I'm not going to worry about him being found dead. I commit him into your hands. And then you got to cast down imaginations. Then you got to cast down thoughts, negative thoughts. I bind that thought in Jesus' name. I'm not going to think that he's in God's hands. If you his mother, you have the authority to put him in God's hand. You have the authority to put her in God's hand. I don't care if she's 35. You have the authority to do it. So you just got, sometimes you need to pray about what you're going to pray. Does that make sense? You need to pray about what you're going to pray so you're not just praying amiss. The Bible says sometimes you pray, but you pray amiss. In other words, you miss the mark. You know, you're trying to shoot the prayer arrow, but you missed the mark because you didn't pray about what you was going to pray. You just started praying, you know, and everything. Everybody wants to say that, you know, I prayed and they got healed. And sometimes God, a lot of time when people go to the hospital, it's not just about being sick. Sometimes it's about stuff being hard-headed. Sometimes it's open doors to the devil by not obeying the husband, not obeying the leaders. Opening the door to the devil. And sometimes what the Lord does is he allows the sickness and disease to discipline you. Get you in the hospital where you start thinking. Before you went to the hospital, you was too busy to stop and think. And stuff your husband been trying to tell you for years. Stuff other leaders been trying to tell you for years. And I'm talking about myself too. I went to the hospital and they thought I had a heart attack. And they found out it was what? When you dehydration, I thought dehydration can make you feel like a dog. I thought I was dying and I was dehydrated. And the Lord told me it's more than just dehydration. It's discipline. And one of the things is you wouldn't listen to your wife. You would not listen to your wife. She kept telling you, Ralph, Ralph. And I wouldn't listen to my wife. So the Lord allowed me to have to go to the hospital. And they found out after they pumped all that IV and got me. And then they found out there wasn't nothing wrong with my heart. But I came out of that thinking, you know what? That was a door open. Lord, give you a wife to help you. And then you don't listen to her. You're not just rejecting your wife. You're rejecting the Lord. See, it's not just the husband. It's the other way around, too. You're rejecting you know, the one that God sent to help you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is close those doors and get that stuff in divine order. Attitude toward parents, whether parents are good or bad, whether you think they're good or bad, is irrelevant and immaterial. Amen. Whether you think it's people bringing curses on themselves because they're rebuking and cussing the president out. And it's like, I asked Mina one time, because Mina don't like Trump. I said, Mina? I call her Mina Lee. I said, Mina Lee? Because it make me think, you know, sound like some daddy talking to his daughter. Mina Lee? Mina Lee? Come here. And then she didn't even want to talk to me. She told Bishop Ralph, I don't want to talk to Bishop Ralph. What do you want? I said, Mina, let me ask you a question. I said, do you believe God chose President Trump? Yeah. I said, why are you talking about him? She got quiet. When Mina gets quiet, that means she's listening. I said, if he's appointed by God, he's anointed by God. Did you hear me? I said, if he's appointed by God, he's anointed by God. You better leave Trump alone. Don't make any difference whether you're saved or not saved when it comes to whether God appointed him. God appointed Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible didn't say Nebuchadnezzar got saved. It did say he acknowledged the Most High. So I guess that would be, I don't know if that classifies salvation. What do you think, Bishop Mark? But he did. When he came out at 7 years, God, the Bible says the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he sets over it whomever he chooses. Now, I'm starting to see some results of Trump being in office. I'm starting to see for higher signs. Come on, somebody. I'm starting to see some positive results. I'm seeing, you know, people talking about him even pardoning people that Obama just ignored. And I'm not trying to just be pro-Trump. I'm not, you know, because some of that stuff he does is like, oh, God. Some of these tweets, I wish he didn't do that. But I just keep some of that stuff to myself because I understand the nature of leadership. But I'm going to tell you something. When he built that embassy in Israel, all of the saints of God should have shouted hallelujah. Because Bible prophecy could not be fulfilled until Israel and America had to be the one. Because that means that because the president blessed Israel, God can bless this nation. Amen. Isn't that what he said to Abraham? He said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you. And all of those presidents that lied and said they were going to put the embassy in Jerusalem and did not do it brought a curse on this country. With every head bowed, please. Repeat this prayer after me. We just want to make sure. Heavenly Father, I come before your throne. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right now by faith, I put on the whole armor of God. Lord, give me the wisdom and give me the strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. I rededicate my life to you. Lord, with your help and your grace, I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a praise.